Boom, and we're in.
Talk Over Pod, DJ Double, DJ CB, and today, Yorkshire's very own, yeah? Is that what they're saying?
That's what they're saying.
He's bigger than Yorkshire now, though. DJ Flex, welcome, bro.
Yo, what's going on, bro? You good? You man's good?
All good, yeah.
All good, man. All good.
Yeah, man.
Look, he's smiling, he's grinning already, is that? Yeah.
He's like,
you know, stories to tell today, boy. All good. All right, you know what? Let's start off today's podcast with an important question. £50 million to never touch the decks again. What are you doing?
Yo, listen, I'm retiring, bro. Retiring.
Take the money and run.
I'm gone, bro. I'm gone. You won't see me on no socials ever again. I'm gone.
Gone. You know what? I think 50 million, I'm doing the same, you know. I'll find another hobby.
Yeah,
I'll be honest.
Facts.
I'll find another
hobby. You're lying, man. You'll stay with DJing, man. 50 man. Million, don't matter, man. You lot should love DJing, not for money, innit? Like,
you're a liar, CB. Don't even tell me. Yeah, that you, 50 million, 50 million, bruv. That's 7 zeros after the fight.
Yeah, but what are you doing though, innit? Like, what are
we
doing?
I don't care, bruv. I will learn to fly aeroplanes. I will bungee jump from the moon. I don't care. Like, I literally will learn anything.
Yo, CB's got 2 kids, yeah? You try to tell me 50 mil.
Bruv. Yeah, nah, man, I carry on DJing, man. But I do DJing differently, innit? You won't catch me doing no residencies. I'll be throwing events. I'll be throwing events and putting the money into that. I wouldn't be. I wouldn't give up.
What money though? You didn't take the money.
Oh, me, what?
What money? No, we're saying 50 million and don't DJ again or carry on DJing and you don't get 50 million. Someone's going to pay you £50 million to never ever DJ again.
Oh, yeah, I'm done. Yeah, I thought you lot was like 50 million. Oh, yeah, okay, I heard that all wrong. Yeah, I'm gone. Yeah, you won't see me ever.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say there's absolutely no. I don't know. Even like someone, I love DJing innit. Like I love DJing to my core. But yeah, 50 million. Like everyone has a price. I'll be real. I feel like if someone was like, I'll give you 2 million. I'll probably take 2 million. 2 million. That'll see me out for the rest of my life, to be fair, like a decent way. Like,
I don't know, bro. The economy these days, bro. I don't know, bro.
And yeah, 2 million is nothing. 2 million is nothing these days, bro.
I could pay the mortgage for 5 years with 2 million.
that council tax, bro, is no joke now, bro. So, isn't
it, man? That's...
Yeah. Well, what's the bottom end price then? I'm saying, like, if someone now was like 2 million. To never DJ again. I reckon that's it. I'm dashing my headphones out. Yeah, I think so. 2 million, yeah. I think so. And only because, and I'm talking about like, actually physically never touch, your tweet said never touch the decks in it. So I'm saying, all right, cool. If someone says 2 million and you can never touch the decks again, I'll be honest, I'm not finished with my career yet, but I don't know if physically touching the decks I will make £2 million.
I was about to say that. Like, are you actually going to make 2 million DJing?
From touching the deck. From what I've built already and where I've established myself, if I really put my brain to it, I could grow things off of this and probably maybe touch that amount of money. But from actually physically, like, getting bookings, am I getting £2 million from bookings in the rest of my life? I don't know.
You know what? I take a milli now, bro. Take a milli.
I don't know if I'd take a million. I was gonna say a million, but then I thought, nah, to actually sacrifice not ever mixing again, it's gotta be money where I could literally just be like, you know what? I will find another passion. And in that passion, I don't have to work again. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like 2 million. I could live how I'm living now, all bills, mortgage, everything paid for, happy life until I die with 2 million. I reckon.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about like go and get the Lambo, upgrade to a mansion. I'm talking about my lifestyle right now as it is. I think 2 million would see me till I'm an old man and I die. And I'm good.
Until you get that 2 million in your bank and then it goes to your head, man.
Yeah.
you know what? People say this, isn't it? Because like they're like, oh, if you win the lottery, everyone's like, oh, they won't say nothing and they'll just carry on as normal, innit? Fam, when that 50 mil hits your bank, yeah, you're going mad. Yeah.
Oh, 50 mil's different.
But even two mil, man, like... You can't stay. You won't physically be able to stay normal. You have to buy something in it.
Nando's every day. I've been treating the man them as well. Like, yo, listen, Nando's are getting on me.
Nando's on me in it every day.
Nah, you know what? I'll be real though. Like, I've got very good self control when it comes to money. So like, when big injections land, like I'm not, like I've never ever bought like designer anything. Do you know what I mean? So like, and I've had the opportunity to, I've been in the shop and I've been in the shop with spenders as well. People like everyone around me is like, yeah, I'm copying this and copying that. And I'm just stood there like, I like these shoes. I'm not paying $2,000 for trainers. You're mad. I could. And especially where, you know what it's like when you're with the guys and like they're splash, everyone around is splashing and it's like, yeah, okay, I could get lost in this and splash too. But nah, I feel like I've got good self-control. So I think, yeah, 2 million to not touch the decks and I could live like this. And it wouldn't be like, I've got 2 million. I probably would upgrade the car a little bit, maybe take a little 6 months in the Seychelles.
Seychelles. And that, you know what I mean? Get a Tesla and that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know about a Tesla, bro. I don't know about a Tesla. I do distance, innit? I drive a lot. I'm not looking to sit on the M25 waiting for a recharge to come.
I hear that.
But yeah, no, I liked that question that you put on your Twitter, you know, Flex.
Yeah, man.
It was a good one. But yeah, I reckon everyone's got a price. 50 million, everyone. There's not one person can tell me they're DJing again if someone puts 50 million in their bank.
Facts. Facts. Less than a million. Facts.
Yeah, Flex has gone for a million.
Yo. Yeah, two mil's the limit, bro. Two mil, yeah. Minimum.
I think I can
live off 2 mil for the rest of my life.
Yeah. So Flex, you've been absolutely smashing it recently, bro. Like, yeah, congratulations, man. Like you are achieving what a lot of us are aspiring for right now. Like things are moving for you, bro. So I rate it, man.
Yeah.
So you're sitting at 211,000 followers. So what number was you on before your first reel took off?
I was on like 8,500, something like that.
That is, do you know what? That is mad. Like, you're like, surely your DMs and everything's just ridiculous now, no?
I miss bookings, bro, because. Mm. I don't see it. Like, literally, if I open my Instagram now, my DMs have just got like hundreds unanswered.
Yes, man. Crazy.
And it comes so quick as well, and then it gets removed just as quick, and I just don't see it anymore. Like, my people, I've got a flag, and I have to click flag just to see my normal friends, man.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. I feel that's done bits for my ego, bro, because you replied to me real quick on Instagram. So thank you. And even to the point where I DM'd you on Instagram and Twitter as well, innit? Because I was like, right, you might not see this one. So
I got you, bro. I got you.
Yes, I rate it. I've had moments where it's like I've had viral moments in the past, and I know I've got a small following in comparison now to what you have.
Yeah.
Even just off the moments I've had, I've realized how quickly like notifications and things become quite unmanageable and sometimes a little bit overwhelming as well, when it's just like, like you open your phone and then it says like 99 plus and stuff like that. And it's like, it's almost a full-time job to just stay on top of the activity, isn't it? So like,
definitely.
How are you adjusting to that, where it's gone from like respectfully, I'll just call it like average DJ levels, where it's like a modest 8,000, where you might get like 5, 6, 7 DMs a day or whatever.
Yeah.
To a point where you can't even scroll to the bottom.
Bruh, it's annoying. Like, that's why now I've got my my bookings, it's my email now. So I get a lot of emails now, which is good. So I can manage those. Mm-hmm. But it just gets lost. It's lost now, bro. Like,
yeah.
It's in my general, some of it's in my primary, some of it's in my requests.
Yeah, all that. All that is.
I'm like, yo, half of them are like, can you do this mashup? Can you do that mashup? And then I've got like clothing brands saying, can you do this? And I'm like, bro, yo, where's the money?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's you can't maintain it, like you just can't, unless I get some sort of manager to do my Instagram, then it's lost.
Yeah,
when I do my emails, I'm good with that. DMs, if yeah, I get it. For those few weeks, what it is,
you can't even dedicate time to it because, like, even if you do an hour, you're not even putting a dent into it, innit? So it just seems like it's always, and you can't sit all day in your DMs trying to reply back to everyone, innit? Like, everyone's got stuff to do, innit? Like,
you know, I want time to myself, you know what I mean? Like, I want to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want to sleep. I want to watch Netflix like everyone else. You know, I want to... I don't have time to sit there all day with plenty of people, unfortunately.
Yeah. You know what? It's a tricky one because it's like, this is the other side of the game that people don't realize exists, innit? So there's the aspirations and everyone wants to get to that point where the Instagram is doing what your Instagram is doing. Like every single reel is popping. People are engaging with everything. And it's all, on top of that, the quality is good as well. Do you know what I mean? Like you're actually doing good quality mashups. Like there's a lot of noise out there and yours are good quality. Do you know what I mean? So like creating all of that and getting it out. But then there's this side of it where it's like, yeah, you've got this. Yeah.
And it's honestly, bro, like it's long. It is a bit long. And I just don't have the time half the time just to reply to people. Like, I DJ full time, you know, got a kid and everything, you know, home life, mortgage. I don't have time.
Yeah, and that's crazy.
Before the thousands, I had time. I could do what I want. I was talking to people. Now I just don't know if anyone's replied, messaged me, comments. Like, I could reply to someone, don't see it for another 2-3 days. I'm like, oh, yo, sorry, bro. I didn't even know you messaged me. You know?
Yeah.
And then I feel rude. And then I'm like, yo, listen, here's my number. Get me on WhatsApp instead. And my notifications are off on Insta. Like, I just can't.
Yeah. It gets to a point, innit? Like, you literally just have to, because otherwise your phone will just keep distracting you every day, innit? Like, you look at your phone, it's just a like or a comment, and you pick up your phone and you get sucked into it, innit?
Exactly. Like now, this is what I do. Like, when I'm going out for food, my phone's in my pocket.
Yeah.
Look at my phone just so I can have that one-on-one time.
You know, there's an app we spoke about a little while ago that CB put me onto called Forest App, right? And it is the best app in the world, especially for someone in your situation as well, where you've got to be now engaging on your phone a lot. It just locks off all your apps, so you can't even use them, and you can set it for an hour. So, you know, if you're going to do family time or whatever, you just set it for an hour and it just locks off your phone. Like, can't get onto Instagram, can't get into TikTok, can't get into anything else until the hour's done.
Yeah, I might have to do that, bro.
Trust me, bro, it is the one. And, like, you can get stuff done as well. You can get so productive when you got it on there.
My mindset is like, all right, if it's off for an hour, I might get that one big booking.
Bro, mate, yeah. You're like, if you don't look at your phone for a bit, you're like, oh, I might miss a bit. So you feel it's kind of like FOMO, isn't it? You fear of missing out on it. So you feel like you got to keep looking at your phone, but
just for that booking.
Man. It's
I mad. Think when it comes to that though, I think like the big and most important bookings, I think they're not last minute stuff. Do you know what I mean? If someone's hitting you up, like you got time to reply. Obviously, with you, it's slightly different because the DMs are such a mess. You're going to have to scroll through it all. But I think terms of like the urgency of having to reply straight away, I got over that like a long time ago when I realized like constantly checking for work and check on my DMs. I was like, well, someone's DM'd me, but they're trying to book something in 3 months' time. Like, I don't have to reply today. I can shout them back tomorrow when we can line things up. Do you know what I mean? It's one of them ones.
I got booked for in December. This guy messaged me and it was like, oh, I need you at my club in Marbella. I'm like, all right, cool. And he's like, oh, here's my number. Foolishly forgot to save his number or message him. I could not find that DM, bro, until last week. Scrolling and scrolling, I'm like, yo, this is it's not gonna happen. And then I missed it, and then all of a sudden it popped up first, and I was like, whoa, clicked it, saved it, got the booking, done.
Job done. So that, okay, so like, we might be jumping all over the place a little bit here, but now you've mentioned that, how are you, or are you, have you been able to convert this new following and all of this new attention into actual business? Because I see like a lot of DJs and a lot of content creators and stuff, I think the mistake that they make is they chase followers. And then once they get 200,000 followers, they're like, yes, I've made it. Without realizing like those followers really aren't any good if you're not able to convert that into money.
Yeah. So there's always like a little, there's always a little thing in the back of my mind, like, am I securing enough bookings? But then you just got to think, like, am I here to get bookings? Is that what I want? Do I want to be the superstar DJ and do all these bookings? Like, for me, I DJ 4 or 5 nights a week and I make good money and I'm happy. I'm local. I drive out. I get my guest sets. I'm doing good. I do really good for myself. Mm-hmm. And you got like other DJs that are trying to be that superstar DJ, take all these big bookings. I can't take these big bookings because I've got to do schooling in the morning. You know what I mean?
I hear it. Yeah.
There's certain things that I can do and certain things I can't do. Mm. You know, if I've got to take a set abroad, it has to be worth a lot of money, like to compensate me missing out on 3 sets that week to pay my mortgage, to pay my bills. So I'm picking and choosing what I can do. I've got a nice set in Bristol in a few months. And it's a big, big money set, 90-minute work, stuff like that I'm cool with. But it just depends what sort of DJ you want to be. You know, I'm the DJ that's very comfortable. I'm doing what I'm doing. If I get the big booking, if it's worth the money, I'll do it. But I'm not trying to chase the stardom, you know.
Go on, CB.
No, I think, like, especially when you, like, have kids and stuff like that, you realise that you can't go do, you know, some people go fly around the world and stuff like that and try and be that superstar DJ. When you have kids and stuff and you have that responsibilities, house and mortgage and shit, you have to shift your DJ career a little bit, innit? And you have to tell yourself, innit, you're like, I can't do that, but I can do this. And then you can master that lane kind of thing, innit? Like you said, you're mastering the local lane, innit?
Yeah.
Like everyone in Leeds knows you. You know what I mean? And that's what we talked about before, double, innit? Like master your own thing and then you can branch out. But because you now know that, you're not chasing the stardom, but you just want to just be that local DJ. But it's good that you've realized that, innit?
Yeah, I realized it from early, man. Because I was talking to Joe LaBelle on Tuesday, and he was like, "Oh, where's your bookings going?" I'm like, "I've got some Indonesian bookings as well," and that's what he got. But he can fly out and just do it. You know, I've got my responsibilities, but I can't. I got booked for it. My visa didn't come in time, so we're gonna reschedule. But I have to plan stuff so much in advance because of work, kids, you know.
Yeah, what's your support network like as a dad? Like, because obviously you explained you got the school run to do. So I'm in a similar situation. So like my son lives with me as well. So like for me, midweek bookings, I have to choose a lot. I have to plan a lot in advance. And I can't necessarily go for like 4 midweek bookings in a row.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because...
You know, my missus live together, got a kid, so everything's quite good. It all works out. She works through the day, I work through the night, so there's always someone there. But I get in at 5 in the morning. I'm up at 7:30. Got to do the school run. You know what I mean? Like that's where I struggle and go back to sleep for a few hours. Got to walk the dog. Got to pick him up from school afterwards. So listen, it's hard work, bro. It's hard work.
You know, there's one thing here that you will never ever realize until you're a parent to a school-aged child is how short the day really is.
Yeah.
You see it? See it at 8 a.m., yeah, when you're dropping the child off at school. And then you've got, what is that, 7 hours now until 3 o'clock when they finish? Bro, that is not 7 hours. That's 10 minutes. Like, it's crazy. Yeah, so that, I mean, that's another interesting point now about DJ Flex, because like, not only are you now having to create the content all the time and keep up appearances as a DJ, obviously you're a family man and you've got everything else that a normal, regular family person has to do. So like...
Exactly. It's hard work, man. It's hard work. And, you know, people, like the DJ community expects a lot from me as well. They expect, you've got these numbers now. What are you doing with that number? I'm like, bro, listen, I used to chase a number. Now I'm just, all I wanted was 10K, bro. That's all I wanted was 10K followers. Mm. That is it. I managed to get another 200K out of it. And I'm like, I'm still the same person. I'm still the same DJ. You know what I mean? I'm got a lot more bigger bookings. I'm getting a lot more money now. You know, I can put the extra number on the invoice. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter anymore. And I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm literally happy.
Yeah. So you said about hitting 10K. I did see something. This is a little side note, by the way. I did see something that you said you were studying the algorithm for like 30 days or something like that.
I studied it for 2 days, bro.
That's
it, 2 days. I saw that tweet as well. So break that down. Like, first of all, like, what do you mean studied the algorithm? And how did you learn enough in 2 days to... All right, so is everything that you've achieved, even though it's bigger than you expected, is it intentional?
You know what? It's a tricky one, yeah. So when I had like the 8K followers and that, I've been making reels like for a very long time, content way before reels was a thing. But old Instagram account, like I've been making content for years, and I was kind of sick of like, I'm making some art content, but nothing's banging. So I'm like, what I'm gonna do? Yeah, I'm gonna check out these other DJs that I've seen online who's got like, you know, thousands of followers, and I was looking, and I'm like, I've done that, didn't work. I've done that, didn't work. I've done this, didn't work. A few DJs have ripped off like what I've done as well, and some of them like gone up, and I'm like, yo, why is mine not hitting? Like, what have I done wrong? I've changed the view a few times, you know, I've done face front, side, from the back, corners, nothing worked. And I was like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna release some new reels, but before I do that, I'm gonna just go on YouTube, look at these big creators, see what they've done, see what they've said. They've mentioned like changing the fonts, the different colors, because Instagram likes that. Instagram study when your people are online the most. I've studied that. They were like, all right, you need to do like transitions. You've got to not put DJ tags in the videos because people want to use it as reels. So what's to like make a reel? What says DJ Flex, blah, 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 into a mashup. Companies won't use that. So like, these little tips. I thought, like, let me just apply it. Someone said, do a paid ad for like £1. So I did that just to get in the algorithm a little bit. I did it twice. My videos got more. I think it got to about 8K plays. And then I did one video and it just skyrocketed. And I paid £5 on an ad.
Which one was that?
The ad that worked, but it was the Alicia Keys one. And that just skyrocketed from there. I'm not sure if it was the £5 ad that I paid for, or that I used the right font at the right time, the right colors, and all of a sudden it just exploded. And then anything from there, people were using my reels, and like I said, like I stopped using. I used to put like DJ Flex, you know, like a glass smash, that sort of thing, and nobody was using that. Now, if I put a reel up, people just use it straight away because it's just clean, just clean.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because then people that are using it, people that aren't switched on, you're not necessarily getting the credit for the sound.
No, I'm not getting no credit whatsoever, but
do you care?
People are using it. Instagram's pushing it to literally everywhere, so I'm getting more plays, more reach, more followers.
So that's the remix feature, isn't it? Where they can use the audio. So technically, people that know how to click the button, it does feed back to you. It's not just people just...
It feeds straight back to me. Yeah.
And
what it is as well is, it's a little trick. You know, you might want to use it, but you know how normally you have like the beat, like an intro, and then it starts? Never do that, bro. Just start the song. Just straight into it.
Yeah.
I used to be like, that sounds like a bit silly. And it was Lord's DJ. And I used to always be like, yo, it's not mixing into the song. The song already starts mixed. So I'm like, and now I realize people just want to hear the mashup straight away. Where?
Yeah, because they got you literally got 3 seconds to literally hook the person. Because it's all about watch time, innit? Yeah. It's all about watch time. It's all about how long they listen to it. So if you hook them straight away within the 3 seconds and they like the song, they'll listen to the whole thing. And obviously, if it's aesthetically pleasing as well, they're going to stay and stuff like that.
If
so,
you got a long intro in the beginning, they're kind of waiting. They want to hit it, boom, straight away. So that's literally just, that's what I do now, straight away.
Yeah. Do you, as a DJ and as a music fan, does it make you feel a way where you're just like, oh, I want to do it like properly. Do you know what I mean? Because I noticed you said stuff on Twitter before about like making content in the past that bare DJs would just be like, yeah, this is sick. But it's not getting shared. It's not getting pushed out anywhere. And like civilians aren't clocking it.
Yeah, you know what it is for me? Like, I love music so much. Like, even if a new song comes out, I'm on like Genius Lyrics, breaking down lyrics, and I'm that deep in music. I love like lo-fi hip-hop, I love jazz, I love finding original samples, mixing them in. I used to do all of that. I find it interesting, and I felt like, pull it online, a lot of people find it interesting as well. DJs were like, yeah, that's sick, but no one shared it. And it wasn't that it was boring, but it was the stuff that I liked. So I went the other way. I'm not saying it's boring, but I went for the general public, the audience. Do a simple mashup, and that's what happened.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you got to think the general public pool of people and then the DJ pool of people. You know what I mean? Like, there might be like, I don't know, you might be hearing 50,000 people that are DJs, but then there's millions of normal people that ain't DJs, innit?
You know what I mean? And I realized, that's the focus. Like, end of the day, it's not the DJs paying my wage, you know what I mean? It's the
big facts
crowd.
Yeah, not only that as well. I feel like a lot of DJs have this insecurity thing where they're not sharing other content from other DJs.
Yeah.
Whether it's insecurity, whether it's an ego thing, I don't know. But it's like a lot of people won't celebrate other DJs' content because it's like, I don't want to put him on because he's my competition. Da, 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 da.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? And there's room for everyone, man. Like, listen. Before I reached 200,000, I used to share all the DJ stuff. I used to like stuff, comment, all that sort of stuff. You know what I mean? And just show real appreciation. They used to do it to me too, but some DJs don't. They don't want to. They'll be like in your face, yo, yeah, sick, but they want to see you shine. But deep down, everyone's a competition. That's how they see it.
It's a weird mentality.
It's weird, like. I'm not even in the same city, bro. You know what I mean? Like, yo, I'm not taking your bookings.
literally.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not taking your bookings. I'm in Leeds. I'm not getting booked for Manchester. I get the odd set in Manchester, but I'm not getting booked for Manchester, London. And just share it. You know what I mean? Sharing's caring. You know what I mean, bro? People are sending me the reels to share, and I'm like, bro, you didn't share none of mine.
Where was you before, man?
Of course they are.
My mindset. I get DJs hitting me up, yo, what's the secret? What's the codes? I'm like, bro, there's no secret. And I'm like, but where, you didn't hit me up in November. You know what I mean? You didn't hit me up every month before that. Moment now, I've got all these followers, you just hitting me up. Yo, can you share this? Yo, what do you think of this? Yo, listen, who cares what I think?
Just do what's best for your audience,
do
innit?
Do what you want to do. I'm always preaching that, yo. Do what you want.
Yeah. You mentioned that you've seen content where guys are doing basically what you've done, and they're trying to copy it. How does it feel when you see? I know how it's happened to me a couple of times. Yeah, I know how I feel. Like, it's not good. But how does it feel? Even though, like, if you're... Oh, I know, because you actually said that people have copied you and theirs have skied off when yours hasn't.
Yeah, I'm not going to name names, but, you know, all I'm saying, there was a time where I used to have, like, my jacket, my sunglasses on and do all these reels. And then, obviously, you know, people are doing the same thing and skyrocketed and they've found their own lane now, which is nice. But I felt like, yo, listen, I know where that came from. I know where it is. But it's cool. It's all love. That person's got me bookings as well, so...
Yeah, it's I'm conflicted when, like, if I see it, when it's happened to me in the past, I've actually always called it out, either publicly or privately. I've always reached out to whoever person has been like, cool,
you gotta
trick.
Let it go. You gotta, huh? let, You gotta let that anger go, bro.
Yeah, no, no, no. It's not even an anger thing, but it is one of them ones where it's like, rah, like, you really just took that. Like,
listen, you gotta let it go, bro, because people will do whatever they want.
Yeah.
That's big facts.
Like, it doesn't matter. Like, how many times have I seen someone do Joe LaBelle, Pop Smoke in the club? And I'm like, bro, Joe LaBelle lives here too. You know what I mean? Like, like yo, his people are going to see it straight away. Like, what are you doing? But you know what? They're going to do it regardless, and people know, innit? So.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. It's one of those things where, like, I think the bigger you get and the more visible your work, the more it's going to happen, innit?
Yeah, and then you got to realize people, unfortunately, the case is I've got a larger following now. People know where it came from, so I'm not even stressed. You know, like if they've seen someone do what I've done, they're not, oh yeah, Flex did it. I don't care. But when I had less followers and I was trying to reach these people and then they've seen it first and I'm like, yo, I did it first, but it just is what it is. People do what they want.
Yeah, they're gonna do what they want in it. So let them do it. But
do it.
deep down, they're copying and they're just behind because you're now ahead. You're gonna be thinking of new ideas. They're just chasing you in it. So they're just behind. So
and that's it.
That's how you gotta see it.
Yeah. That's true. But you're way more grown up than me, man. Like I'm not there yet. I'm not. Yeah, I'm just like fuck them guys.
You just gotta let it go, bro. You just gotta let it go, man.
Nah, I am joking. You mentioned about how females share content more than the man them.
Yeah, man, they do. You know what? It's just like when you're DJing. What's the split for you? Like, do more women ask for songs than guys?
Yeah.
It's more women that want to request. And I feel like that on social media too, man. They just want to, they love the music. They want to say, oh, yo, bring it back to a time. They'll share it to the friends, to the besties. Guys don't really do that, man.
You might be right. How do you now tailor your stuff for girls?
It is. I love R&B. I love R&B. So I'm not tailoring it more for girls, but I'm tailoring it more for that era. The R&B era. And if it's more girls that like it, it's more girls that like it.
Girls do generally tend to like R&B. Do they tend to like old school R&B
more?
Them
from R&B too, bro.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I love old school R&B.
Yeah, I was going to say, CB's the R&B guy.
Oh, fuck me. But
I've seen grown men fight when I've played Mario Let Me Love You in the club, bro.
Yeah, bro.
I can get emotional, but I've seen fights.
Oh, man. I want to break down this study in the algorithm stuff even more, you know, because I do feel like there's definite gems in there that people can utilize. First of all, like, is it different or do you find it's different for TikTok and Instagram? Are you having to do two different things?
100%. Listen, I've been viral on TikTok and Instagram, and TikTok. For me, personally, it might work for other... I think, like, Joe LaBelle went popping on TikTok first.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went viral on TikTok, I didn't get that many followers on Instagram. Like, the conversion rate for Instagram was, like, sloppy. And I didn't get that many bookings at all through TikTok. And I feel like my TikTok, if I'm doing club stuff, it pops off more than when I did it on Instagram. But, like, my reels that I put on Instagram don't really pop off on TikTok. It's a little bit weird how it works, but when I post stuff on TikTok, it's not the same. Like I barely get 3,000 views on TikTok.
It's weird, isn't it? Like you'd think like it's just the same. You'd think it's like the same audience, isn't it? Because like like one you might get a million on Instagram and then you'll have like 6,000 on TikTok. And it's weird, isn't it? It's the same thing.
No one messaged you on TikTok for, oh, yo, have you got this booking? No one does that, but... And I feel like, even though it's not for kids, like TikTok's more like for children, you know what I mean? Like, they're not going to book you. They just want to that's cool. But on Instagram, it's a bit more professional. You get your bookings on there.
Yeah, it's definitely like, that's something that I realised. The demographics now are very different, even though there are a lot of Instagram users that use TikTok.
Yeah.
I feel like there's more TikTok users that don't use Instagram.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I guess it's like, it's just the trends of social media, man. Like Facebook was there, and then when Instagram popped up, people traveled from Facebook to Instagram, but they didn't really travel from Instagram to Facebook.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like this generational like slide of social media platforms. Like people that are getting into social media now on that age group, they're going to go on TikTok.
Yeah.
They're not going to set up an Instagram if they don't already have one.
Like, you know, my kid's 7 years old and he knows about TikTok. Yeah. He's not on it, but he knows about TikTok. But
he doesn't
really like know anything about Instagram. So it's just...
Instagram, like you said, it's a bit more professional in it. There's a bit more to it.
Yeah.
Like TikTok, all you're doing is just scrolling. You don't, like, I don't know.
It's not there.
You don't really... Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
I don't really use TikTok, to be honest. And like, maybe I'm missing a trick there, but I found exactly the same thing. And even though like I'm not doing anywhere near the numbers that you're doing, Flex, but like I'll post stuff on Instagram and I'll post the same video on TikTok and barely get any reach. But I think like maybe that's because I'm not on TikTok. I'm not interacting with other accounts. I'm not leaving comments everywhere. I'm not posting five times a day. Like
I thought that as well, but then I did that one video last year on TikTok and it just exploded.
Yeah.
Which one was that? Is that the Kula Sa remix?
And that one went viral. Like even Oxlade used it on one of his sets as well when he was performing. Remix. So
really?
Yeah, used it, man. Yeah, when I first got that remix, it must have had like 500 plays when I found it. And then now it's on like over 2 million plays.
Honestly, that edit is cold, bro.
Yeah, man.
Cold.
You know what? Yeah. I told the guy, listen. This guy fumbled the bag, bro. Fumbled. So you know, like a lot of DJs like to hide the music and that, you know, a bit of gatekeeping and that. Mm. I'm a little bit on the fence. I gatekeep a few stuff, you know, a few of the sources. I keep them on the side, but some of the songs I'll share. And that song, I knew it was gonna pop off and I kept it. It must have been about 12 hours. And then the guy who made it started plugging himself in. Like, oh, it's free, free download to all these people. And I was like, bro, listen, don't do that. Pull it on for sale on Bandcamp, pull it for £1, see what happens. Ignored it, bro. And he would have made so much money, bro. He would have made so much money, bro. He fumbled, bro. Fumbled.
Mad.
That's mad.
Nah, yeah. I put my Alicia Keys one on Bandcamp, bro, and I made some great money off that.
Mm. See, I like that you've done that because you've got mashups now, and you're actually trying to you're making money. You're monetizing what you've got now, innit?
Shotting them, bro.
Yeah, it's good. You got your following. You know you can monetize now, so you've gone on Bandcamp and stuff like that, man. Like you need to do like a Patreon thing as well, man. Subscription thing. Yeah, man.
You know what? I'm trying to do that whole Instagram, like the community group community. Oh, but not on my account yet. I don't know why. So
that's it. Yeah, man. Like once you start.
I've got a website starting as well. You know, try to sell some merch and that. Some 90s R&B merch. You know what I mean? Who knows, bro?
Yeah, man. You got to monetize it, man. Now you got this following, man. Because there's creators out there that have less followers than you and making good money. You've got 211,000, man. And once you get to that status, man, you could literally just because the thing is, you get to a certain status and like people trust you more in it because of the number. Yeah. So they'll buy stuff off you.
Yeah.
And even if it's a, like I don't know how much you're sending Alicia Keys one
pound.
For, but like
I think it's a pound.
Yeah, a pound. And I mean like and people were looking at it, it's like, oh, it's only a pound. But the amount of people, like if every one of your followers bought it, that's do you know what I mean? 211 grand, didn't it? Do you know what I mean?
And you know what I've realized, because obviously you get the email through, and I'd say like 90% of them are not DJs.
Mm. That's what I was just about to ask. I was trying to think of how I could ask a way of getting that through without actually asking how much you made off it. Because I was gonna say to you, like, what are the numbers of DJs versus civilians that are buying it?
Because 90% civilians, bro. 90%.
That's mad, because I feel like People don't buy MP3s anymore. They go on Spotify and Apple Music to listen to their songs, and if it's not there, they just move to the next thing.
Exactly, and that's and I think that's the reason why, because
they can't get it. Yeah, because they always say on in like the TikTok comments, oh, when are you gonna put this on Spotify, innit? Yeah, but then they can't, so they'll go and buy it, and like, because it's just 99p,
people will buy it.
They'll pay for it. Yeah, it's mad.
I wonder what they're listening to it on, because you know most people won't even know where an MP3 goes when they download it on their phone.
You know what I mean?
Has Bandcamp got like an MP3? Has Bandcamp got like an MP3 player kind of thing? Like, I can't remember.
I think so, but people are buying it, and it's in God's hands, bro. I don't know where it's downloaded.
But then can you save the MP3 to your phone, innit? And it would just be on
like,
you can.
No. But my point is, like, for us as DJs, yeah, we know where all the music goes. We know how to get it from our phone to the laptop into Serato, all of that. But for civilians, like, when they're used to just opening Spotify and pushing play and then it just runs for the day, well, now they're on Bandcamp and now they paid £1 and now it's downloaded and then it's like...
Where's it going?
Do they even have iTunes on their phone anymore? There's no, like, MP3.
Well, it's Apple Music, innit? But I'm sure...
It
goes to files, but...
Yeah, it will.
Mm. Who's checking files?
Yeah, exactly. What normal people know that's where it goes?
Oh, yeah. Listen, like I said, God's hands, bro. Like, yo.
he said, I don't care. The money's coming, so... Sick. How much stuff have you got on Bandcamp?
So what I do, if I make a mashup and it hits... And it hits like on Instagram, like it's going big. I'll try find like the original a cappella, the original, like proper, like clean, you know, like, and I'll make it on there. I think I've got around 10 on there.
Yeah, you're not milking it.
Stems isn't that great for a cappellas half the time. You know what I mean? So if I get the original version, I'll release it on Bandcamp.
Will you go out your way and buy the actual acapella if you can? Yeah.
Because, you know, nice. I'm not going to just put a stems version out and it just sounds a bit muffled and it's not fair.
Is it stems versions for the actual content though, right? Stems versions for the...
Version for the actual content. Stuff. Unless I've got an acapella, when I'll use that. But if it's normally it's just stems.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good that you actually go out your way and kind of get the acapella as well, man, because you're actually giving good quality. And it's good that you've only put up 10, because obviously, if I'm just scrolling through your Instagram now, you've got rare posts, but you're not putting them all up. But it's all about like kind of like quality control in it. You only want to put out what you think's good in it.
Get it clean, like full acapella clean, you know what I mean? And it's crisp, then yeah, I'll make it into a full one. But if I don't have that, I'm not.
Well, fair enough. That's good, man.
Yeah, I've got models, bro. I've got models.
Talk us through your recording process, because obviously, like we said, you're a busy guy, family man. You've got all the other stuff you have to do, and so like it can't just be a case of an idea comes to you and you just drop everything and get it recorded.
Yeah, right? You know what, bro? It pretty much is. So what I do
actually is what you do. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll be like chilling. I'm like, yo, you know what? I could be DJing somewhere. I'm like, yo, that would go well with that. And I'll check it, you know, make sure it's in the right key or thereabouts, you know, I can like key match it. And then I'll just jump in the studio, quick time, pull my table out, because right now it's a drying room as well, you know what I mean, for the clothes and that. So, I'll just pull the table out, quick hit record it on my camera or my phone, whatever's more convenient at the time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just do it on there, upload. I use Final Cut Pro for the effects, you know, color grade it, do all that sort of thing. Then there we go. I'd say, you know, batch it, you know, create a few contents. I just don't. Like, sometimes I might not have an idea for ages, and I'll be like, oh, yo, that sounds good.
You know what I found about batch content? It's good, because you can get loads of content out, but I feel like...
You're forcing it.
But you're also... The content's getting stale. Like, not stale, what's it? It's like... It's not there in the moment kind of thing, innit? Like you'll make like 10 mashups and the song might be good that week, but by the time it comes out in like 10 days or 10, it's dead. Do you get it? So yeah, so once you have the idea, you should just put it out straight away. Like, so obviously batch content is good, but like on the spot content is always good, because that's the idea is there, the song might be popping there and then put it out.
And that's this is the thing. Well, I've not tried it yet, but Because normally my reels are all like throwbacks and stuff. I know there's a lot of new music out now, like, you know, Millie Long, you know, Beyonce's new stuff. I've not tested it yet. I've not tried to put new music and see how that pops off on my Instagram yet. It's just normally throwbacks. But I found my little niche right now, so I'm going to stick with it for a little bit and then I'll go from there.
I think the throwbacks are a safe bet because it's like, we know what the classics are.
Yeah.
We already know what the big tunes and what the popular ones are. And you can dig as well and find some like proper throwbacks that like real nostalgic tunes, but you know they're decent records. Whereas like with the new stuff, I feel like new records can be a bit hit or miss. It can be a great song, but really like just not connect with the wider audience.
Exactly. I've not tested it yet because now that I've got like these followers, it might work, it might not work. But I love my throwbacks way too much. And I've still got a lot of throwbacks I can put. There's thousands. There's thousands of matchups I can make.
How mindful are you about losing views? Like if it gets to a point, let's say you just drop one and it's get 3 million. And then next week you drop another one and it gets 2 million. And then like a month later, they're only getting, I say only, it's still massive numbers. But if it's tailing down and it's now getting 1 million and you're noticing like,
you know,
not
what?
As much.
I don't care. Like before, I used to think, oh, I don't want my view was the only people that's gonna notice is other DJs. Like they're the ones that are gonna be looking at, oh yo, so yeah, Flex did this reel and it's got 3 mil. He's got this one, it's got 100K. That one's got 80K, and it's only DJs that care. Only DJs that care, but the public does not care how many views you've got on the video. And now that I've shifted my focus to that, like, I don't care about the DJ stuff anymore. Like, if they like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. So now, if a reel's not popping like it did before, it's cool. I enjoyed it. People enjoyed it still. Mm. They're the ones that are commenting, DMing me, saying I love it. And that's what I'm here for now.
Yeah. But do you feel like, is that not an indicator of, because all the while that you're getting the big numbers, essentially, I know you've said like you're not interested in like the big fame lifestyle and like superstar DJ thing, but ultimately, like as a DJ, if you can keep the ball up in the air and these high paid bookings come in while your name's popping, the longer you can do that, the better it is. Do you know what I mean? Like the closer it is you are to that 2 million and you don't have to give up DJing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, it makes sense. It makes sense. But like I said in the beginning, there's only so much DJ work I can take, you know what I mean? Like, I can't go flying out to do all these sets. So, you know, if the views not there as much, I've still got my big sets that I do every week, you know what I mean? They're not going anywhere. They've been there for over 10 years, these nights, you know what I mean? Mm. And they're making more money now than they did before. So, So when it comes to content, if it pops, it pops. If it doesn't pop, who cares? You know
that's
what I mean?
Like, to have. That's,
end of
that's
the end of the day, yeah? Like, my Instagram followers are still there, bro. Like the numbers are still there on the big screen. 211,000 followers, bro. That's not. I'm not gonna go down to 100,000. You know what I mean? I'm not gonna go back to 8,000. So that's the mindset. I got DJs that are on like 1 million, 500,000, and sometimes their reels they'll get like 20K plays. Some 100K. 500K, a million players, like, it doesn't matter. Now when you realise you got the big number now, it doesn't really matter.
Mm. Yeah, it's not like, because you have a 211,000 followers, you're going to get 211,000 views.
Exactly.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, it just matters. If the content's good, the content's good, innit?
Look at Lord's DJ, yeah? He's got, 300 and some thousand followers. Some of his videos got 1 million plus, some of them's got 34,000 players. You know what I mean? He's got more followers than I have. Some of mine are doing better than his. He's got over 100 more than me. You know what I mean? And some of mine do not as good. But end of the day, it is what it is.
Mm.
When you realize that big accounts also have small numbers as well, it doesn't matter. Like your mind, your whole that shift in your mind just changes completely.
Yeah, I think where a lot of people go wrong, and when I say people, I mean DJs, is their mindset is that they're stuck too much in competition with other DJs on social media. And it's like what I said to you before, like towards the start, if you're not converting that following,
Yeah.
Into money, like why are you chasing the followers? Do you know what I mean? Like, why are you competing with that person to get views if you're not making money off of the views? Like, and I think so many DJs, they just have blinkers on and they just look at one particular thing. Facts. Do you know what I mean?
Facts. And I used to be a victim of that as well. I used to think, you know, chasing the followers, get the money. That's all I want, bro. But then you realize, even before that, I DJ, listen, it's my full-time job. Mm. I pay bills playing music, bro. Mm. Like, it's a dream. For me, it's a dream, you know what I mean? Like, not many people get to live a dream. I'm the best. I'm literally, like, in my own mind, I'm successful already, bro.
Yeah.
I get to buy what I want. I get to do what I want through the day as well. Half the time, I get to play music at night. I'm living the dream, bro. Mm. And I had the dream when I had 8K followers.
Yeah.
Facts. Yeah.
What's the aspiration like moving forwards? Have you reached where you want to reach now? Because the way you speak about it is like if you don't ever progress past where you are, which is a good level. But the way you talk about it is like, if you don't ever get any bigger or any further, you're happy.
Listen, I'm happy, bro. I've been happy for a long time, man. Listen, my life's good. My family's good. I play music for a little. I make good money playing music. Mm-hmm. I take the sets what I can take, you know, obviously because with the kid and that.
Yeah.
I'm literally doing the best I can. And I'm living good, man. I'm living good. And all I wanted was 10K followers, bro. That's all I wanted. All I wanted was 10K followers. I wanted to get a reel to reach over 10K. That was literally my goal. And this, a few people asked me, like, what's next? Bro, I've had these amount of followers, like, on my account for, what, 2 months?
Yeah.
Like, it's not even been a year. It's not even been 6 months, bro. Like, summer's around the corner, you know what I mean? I'm sure I'm going to get some good bookings through summer. But I've amounted it so quick. I don't feel like people have realized yet.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm happy, bro. I'm happy. And that's what I'm trying to tell all these other DJs. Look, stop chasing the numbers, bro, because it doesn't mean anything. All it means is that you can charge more for a set.
You can sell yourself a bit more in it. Like, and you have like social proof kind of thing in it. Like,
yeah, that's all, bro. And if you have the social proof, then I'm happy that I've got it. You know what I mean? Mm. But in terms of, like, you know, I'm still playing the same vibes, bro. You know, I'm still trying to do the flex effect, you know, the crowd come to see me. Like, now it's a bit mad, yeah, when I'm DJing in the crowd. I'm like, yo, it's him. Yo, that's DJ Flex. You know what I mean, yo? I love that, bro. I love that, you know what I mean? But end of the day, bro, they're coming. They have a great time. I leave happy. Leave happy. The managers, you know, like, I work for Dan Hills. I work for him on two nights. And he comes and he's always happy. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, you smashed it. I'm just happy, bro.
Yeah. It's funny, actually. We need to get Dan on the podcast because that is, I'm not lying, that is the fifth time his name's come up this week in different conversations. Yeah, all relating to all different things, bro. Dan Hills has been mentioned 5 times to me this week.
You know, so, boy, he's one of my best friends, bro. Listen, I'll speak to him in a minute.
It's a sign to get him on the pod, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. You said about all of this growth through social media, like you said, it just means you can charge more. I think I disagree with that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm in a position to, because I'm not where you are on social media, but I feel like if the thing is you're comfortable in your surroundings and you're comfortable with the residencies and you're happy being selected with the guest spots.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I feel like whether it's a good or bad thing, I feel like you've created a ceiling for yourself, which you've reached, and you're happy at that level.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do feel like there's potential, if you wanted it to, you could grow it so much more and make so much. Like, you get brands involved. You could do that. You go down the whole influencer route. Do you know what I mean? And like that kind of stuff.
I've got stuff, you know. I've just got sent some headphones from, is it III? You know what I mean? Like, I've got stuff sent from them, you know, other brands. Like, I'm comfortable. It means that right now, like I said, it's been, what, 2 months? I'm very happy right now.
Right,
I know, you know, more stuff are coming, you know. I am trying to achieve those things, but, you know, I've got to set my perimeters, you know what I mean? Like, I've still got to pay my mortgage on the first of every month, you know what I mean? I've got to make sure I've got all these this around me first, and
Yeah,
then
yeah, yeah.
obviously just like build on top of that. But you know, it's not over. You know, I am still trying to get more bigger bookings. But when it comes to money, you know, I'm not charging a fortune. But I know it's like now I'd be like, I know my worth a little bit more. You know, the people know my worth a little bit more. I can charge an extra £100, £200 because you know what? If I'm promoting the night, I know you'll get a bit more reach as well. You know what I mean? That's what I feel like I'm valued that I can add to charge that amount of money.
Yeah. Do you feel like locally would you be able to start your own thing now? Because we've been like here on the podcast, we've been like advocating DJs. Basically, we saw like the collapse of Recom's clubs. We saw it coming. And we were very much like having the conversation of right, DJs, now is the time to like stop trying to go global online with everything and try and localize everything in real life. Do you know what I mean? Like build your fan base in your area, lock your local clubs down so that everyone knows you're the guy, and then convert that into your own event so you're actually getting people through
Well,
the door.
I am planning to do my own event in summer. It's
Yeah, sick.
my own R&B event. It's a rooftop event. So I've got that in motion. I've got that plan to do my own night. You know what I mean? So I'm pretty sure it'll go well. You know, a lot of people are doing that now. You know, like Stylus does it in Manchester. You know, Joe LaBelle doing his first headline show, you know, putting his own events in. So, you know what I mean?
That's the thing.
There's room for it, man. There's room for it. But in Leeds, there are a lot of DJs in Leeds that are quite established as well. So
It's like with everything though, but you've all got your own different lanes, isn't it? Like you're
Yeah, man.
all got your different lanes. So there's space for every, like you said earlier, there's space for everyone in this.
And the thing in Leeds as well is you have like the main clubs in Leeds. And there's not many left, unfortunately. There's like three or four main clubs left. Well, bars pretty much now. And there's not enough DJ. Well, there's too many DJs, not enough venues. And I'm lucky enough that I play in all the good venues as well. So I'm doing good. I've got the right people around me, the right team, the right promoters, the right DJs around me that I'm involved in a lot of sets and stuff. But I feel like I can put on a night. And what if I'm gonna put on a night, I'm gonna get all the other DJs involved as well. You know what I mean? Like an open deck thing, rooftop, R&B vibe thing. So I bring as much people in as I can, man.
I like to hear that because I feel like that's not really a common mindset. Again, it's something we mentioned earlier in the episode, but it's not really like the whole unity thing doesn't really happen with DJs. I'm still can't quite figure out why it's not this way.
It's because DJs want success for themselves, man. That's what it is. Like they want to be the number one DJ. And it's a good mindset to have, but you know, there's always a better DJ than you. There's always someone better and might not have all the followers. There's always someone out there that's just as sick, better. So you just got to, you know, be humble, man. Bring people in with you, help out where you can. You know, people ask me for advice all the time. I give my advice. I'm like, yo, I think you should do that. You know, it might pop off. Some people send me their reels content, and I've edited them for them on my on Final Cut Pro. Like, yo, listen, I'll do this for you. Send it out to them. You know what I mean? And some of it's popped, some of it hasn't. But I'm always trying to help, man.
And that's good to
How are you choosing where to put your energy and how to spend your time now when it comes to like the DJing side of stuff?
So what I do, this is the thing what I've started is if I'm DJing that night, I allow myself to be able to go on my MacBook, do some content and stuff. If I'm not working that night, I try not to open my MacBook at all. Just have that separation.
Oh,
Like,
really? So, like, if you're DJing that night in a club somewhere,
yeah.
then you dedicate the daytime to
But
doing
I'm like, you
content.
know what? I'm going to try to do some content because I'm working that night. So I'm going to think of it as a working day. Like I'm not working tonight. Thursday's my night off, and I'm look like I'm doing this podcast with my MacBook open. I won't have the MacBook open for the rest of the day.
That's
Do
so interesting, you know, because I do the complete opposite to that.
you?
I do the absolute opposite, excuse me, in a sense that if I'm working in the nighttime at a club, I allow myself to have the day off. I do as little as possible. I'll do some social media housekeeping and stuff with the podcast. Might like edit a clip or two, but generally I will not do anything work related.
Yeah, yeah.
If I've got a club that night, and then if I haven't got a club that night, then that's it. I'm working during the day.
Yeah, see, I used to do that, and then I realized, like, if I'm working that night, I'm still working. If I'm not working the next day, I'm on my MacBook again. So I switched it around. So if I'm working the night, then I can do what I want through the day. Like, I'm on my MacBook, make content ideas. If I'm not working, I'm not working. I'm not doing anything.
Do you feel on those days that you're not working, you find it hard to disconnect though? Was it a big struggle for you?
Not really. No.
I love this guy, here. You know.
See, like, he's straight up in it. Like,
listen, I'm honest. I think about music 24/7, bro. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I want to just go on my Serato, see what it's saying. But I'm just chilling, bro. I'm chilling. Like, days are like, I work most Mondays, I work Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays off, Friday, Saturday, Sunday's off. So there's a lot of time in there where I can just chill.
See, I can't disconnect in it because I feel like when I relax, that's when all the ideas come to me. Yeah. You know when your brain switches off a little bit in it, and you're maybe watching Netflix or you're going for a drive somewhere. But that's when all the good ideas come to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm thinking when it's my day off, yeah, and I'm chilling, I'm like, I need to work. But you do need to set those days where you do absolutely nothing in it, because as DJs, especially you, like, you're working kids and stuff like that, you're just on it all the time. So you do need to set yourself some time to just...
I'm always sad, bro. Yesterday I had 2 hours sleep, bro. You know, yeah, I had 2 hours sleep and I still DJed that night. You know what I mean? That's literally my life, bro. That's literally my life. I don't sleep that much. So now I've made time for when I'm not working, don't do any work, just relax for the day.
Yeah, man.
How much of your... DJ sets reflects what you do on Instagram?
I'd say like the last hour of my sets.
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
R&B hour, you know what I mean? I'm just putting on the throwbacks, the vibes. And when I play the R&B set on the night, because obviously I do main sets now, so my main set is all like the club stuff, the club bangers. And they're the stuff that you want to see on my reels, because it's not really my niche, you know, on my Instagram.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. So would you say, like, at the moment, the majority of your fan base online is not... Because I guess it's a worldwide fan base, isn't it? Like, they're everywhere. So I guess they're not coming to see you in the club. But the majority of the people in the club, do they realise what you've got going on Instagram, do you think?
Yeah, they do now, because a lot of them do follow me now. And obviously my name's displayed on my MacBook. I see people like on the phones typing it in on my Insta, following me. I get a lot of those, and they do see it, and they're the ones commenting. They're like, "Yo, that's a sick mashup that." And it's a tricky one. It's a tricky one because, like I said, I only do main sets now.
Yeah.
So I'm in there. I play the club bangers, you know, the Gunners, the Drakes, the Rich Baby Daddy stuff. You know what I mean? That's what they want to hear. So I play all of that. And then the last hour is what you see on my reels. It's just vibes, bro.
Yeah, it's what you want to play in it. Like, you know, I feel like, how are you feeling about main set these days, man? Like, obviously, don't get me wrong, the songs are popping in the clubs here, but how do you feel about the music that you're playing?
Yeah, so I've always had this thing. I've not been DJing that long in clubs. I've only been DJing for, what, just over 10 years in clubs. I know a lot of DJs that are like 15 years deep, 20 years deep. So I'm like 11 years in clubs deep. And I used to see DJs all the time playing. And I wanted to do a thing what was completely different. So from when I started in like 2013 or something, a lot of DJs would play like the big hitters. I used to go on SoundCloud. I used to find like the fresh edits that no one played. Like, the DJ didn't play that. I play a lot of future beats. I play a lot of like mad stuff. And that's what I literally used for my whole career. People was like, "Yo, that's the difference tune, that, what is that?" And that's what I based my whole career off, playing stuff that DJs don't have. So that's why sometimes I gatekeep a little bit, but I play stuff that DJs don't have. I've got producers in all over the world sending me like their fresh edits that they're not put online yet, playing the clubs. I play a lot of that, and people, the crowd, are like, "Yo, what is this?" DJs run up to me with Shazam, catch Shazam anything, you know what I mean? So I built like this kind of mystery around my sets,
Right.
So like even now when a new tune comes out, when Rich Baby Daddy came out, I didn't even play the original, bro. I got this crazy remix that I got sent from Japan, and I play
Word.
All the time now, and people are like, yo, what is that? So that's the way I cope with new music. Like, I don't like to play the original. Some, if it's a banger, it's a banger. If it's like, it's a bit boring, this the original, I'll find a different version of it, which I really love and like.
See, and this is, yeah. See, you're good. See, this is what I need to start doing this. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and I don't think a lot of enough DJs do enough SoundCloud, Bandcamp digging. I mean, I think it's becoming a bit more common now.
Yeah.
I don't think enough DJs do it, but you've been doing it from early.
Do you guys know Selection?
Selection.
Selection.
Yeah.
So I've been listening to Selection since like episode 1, 2, 3, I believe. So that was like, they're on like nearly 600, I believe. So I've been getting a lot of that music from then. So I've been playing all that sort of stuff in the clubs from day one, bro. So that's how I manage. Because a lot of new music is trash, bro. A lot
I hear it.
This is like that's like a daily conversation for DJs. Like all this new stuff is shit. No,
it's terrible, man. So I have to play versions that I like.
Mm.
If I like it, I hope everyone in the club likes it too. And most of the time, 9 times out of 10, everyone's like, "Yo, Screwface." DJs run up to the booth, slapping the booth door, bam, bam, bam. Yo, what is this? I need it. You know what I mean? And that's how I got that Colossa edit. You know, original was all right. Every DJ played it. I'm like, yo, I need to not play it now. I need to play something different.
Mm.
That's when I played that one and it just went off.
Yeah, that's a good mindset to have, man. Because
you just got to find happiness in the music somewhere. There's no point playing songs just for playing songs, bro. You just got to find happiness in a song somewhere and get a remix that you like, switch it on, man, and you'll enjoy it better.
I hear it. I hear it.
What's your favorite one right now to play?
Oh, what do I play right now? You know, I do love like Chris Brown Sensational, yeah, but I made my own little edit on it and I play it every time, and DJs still run up to the booth. Yo, send me this, bro. I'm like, yo, it's £1 on Bandcamp if you want it.
That's good, man. Yeah, it's good. Like, you know what? Like, it's good that you're keeping your sets, because obviously you're keeping your sets fresh as well. Like, you say, you made the edit as well, innit? Like,
yeah,
it's yours, innit?
That was mine. Yeah.
That's good, man.
Fine, but yeah, I'll have to send it to you guys though, you know, exclusive and that. You know what I mean?
Nah, if it's on Bandcamp, man, I'll jump on Bandcamp and grab it, bro. Like,
listen, I got you, bro. You got me on the show, bro. I got you, bro.
Oh, I appreciate you, man, but. Yeah, it's a pound, mate. I'd rather support the cause, bro. I'm an advocate for the DJs supporting each other right now. So especially like these days, there's so much stuff happening in clubland. And like someone described it really well to me the other day. They said that at the moment the clubs feel like a race to the bottom, and it's like, wow, it really actually does feel like that, because some of the stuff, like, there's a WhatsApp group, and when I see some last minute jobs get posted in this WhatsApp group from clubs, and I'm just like, people are accepting these jobs under these conditions and this fee. And it's like, and that's why it's going this direction. Like, yeah, it is, man. Just a race to the bottom.
I don't support it whatsoever. I do not support it, but I understand why people do it, because people got to pay bills, bro.
Mm.
Also want to live a dream. You know what I mean? And like I said, most people's DJ dream is to DJ full time. Obviously, taking a lower paid set is not good for the business.
Mm.
But people want to. It's what people want to do, bro. People want to DJ. People need to pay bills. People want to live. And I'm not going to be like, yo, you shouldn't take that set because you're messing up for the DJ economy. Like, you know, now DJs, people think DJs are cheap now.
Yeah,
don't support it. But listen. When that debit's due, bro, it's due.
I feel, you know what? I feel like exactly the same as that. Although, like, in my head, I do feel like, nah, you know what? There's, like, I hear DJs talking about, like, 20 years ago, they used to get paid £350 to do a warm-up set at a club. Yeah, and I'm like, bro, there are clubs right now that are not even paying half that for the entire night to their DJ.
Exactly.
But I do feel like, you price yourself wherever you price yourself in it as a DJ. If a job comes up, like I've been vocal in this WhatsApp group before and said, like, what I believe, and I've said it on the podcast, so I believe minimum wage for DJs, as a resident DJ in a club doing whatever, I believe minimum wage shouldn't be less than £75 an hour. Yeah, basically, yeah. Like, if that's how you're, if you charge per hour, but do you know what I mean? For a night, if you're doing a 4-hour night, yeah, you should base it on, right, £300 for that, because I'm doing 4 hours is £75 an hour. Do you know what, yeah, I mean? And like, I have been vocal about that before, but at the same time, if someone wants to do it for less, I'm not going to cuss them out and be like, oh, you shouldn't be doing this. Cause like, who am I to tell you how to run your business?
Exactly. And you, and I want to be vocal about it, but you just can't. And yeah, obviously, saying £75, you know, that's a good base rate to be.
Yeah.
And you've got, so, like, some cities it's different. I've heard that Birmingham DJs get paid a fortune, bro.
Really? You know,
doing Birmingham DJs get paid a fortune for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hearing madness like £800 for an hour, bro.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Mm. And I realised, like, Birmingham drug dealers, bro. It's drug dealers, bro. You know what I mean? That's the reason why y'all getting that money, bro.
Yeah. And
you get London DJs, you know, Northern DJs. It's just different from city to city, man.
You know, London DJs are not getting £800 an hour.
Yeah, nah. Big facts.
Nah,
they're not even getting out a week.
Literally, I was about to say the same thing. I was like, yeah, they're playing every night and they're not even making that money.
Yeah, it's like Leeds, we do all right in Leeds. It's fair in Leeds. It's fair.
It's interesting that it's regional, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, I think my mindset of it is like, in my head, I'm just like, nah, these bookings should not be paying this amount of money. But then exactly. Like, out loud, I just don't accept those bookings.
Yeah.
Mm. And that's what's kept me happy with my business, and that's what's kept me,
yeah,
being able to charge what I charge, because I will accept the bookings that match what I'm happy to go for. Do you know what I mean? And like, the sometimes ones...
You got, if I was you, this is like, if I was like in your position,
yeah,
so obviously you got your base rate, this is what I'm happy to do. But then sometimes I'm like, you know what, the night could be a vibe, you know? The night could actually be a vibe. And maybe I can get something out of this night in the future.
So I'll be yeah. 100%.
I'll do this, and then we'll see what it's saying. If it's popping, I know they'll have me back. And I know, like, listen, what I charged before is what I charged you before, but this is what I'm expected to...
100%. And, like, when it comes to pricing jobs, like, my price isn't the same for every single job.
Yeah.
It is all circumstantial. Like, have I got to get on a plane to get there? Like, yeah, am I going to be away for more than a night? Because if I am, like I mentioned, my son lives with me. So if I'm going away, I have to sort out childcare. Do you know, yeah, what I mean? So then it's like, now I've got to rope a family member or get my girlfriend to look after my son. And yeah, do you know what I mean? And it's like extra hassle. So I've got to be compensated for the extra hassle. Whereas right, if it's a local thing, if I'm only driving 2 miles down the road for an hour, that's going to be a different price than if I have to fly to flipping the other side of Europe for a job. Do you know, yeah, what I mean? So like, it is all circumstantial. And like you say, is it going to be a vibe? If it's a brand or a night that I really want to work for,
yeah,
then I'm more inclined to be like, oh, okay, well, if your budget's not quite there, then well, let's find something we're both happy with. Do you know what I mean? And I think as a DJ, you definitely should be open-minded about the way you price things and not just locked on a no, it has, yeah, to be a moneymaker. If, like, yeah, you enough said as well, mm-hmm, if there's further opportunity to be had from compromising somewhere in the middle, definitely utilize that. But
yeah,
what I also think happens is clubs and promoters take the piss.
Yeah, they do.
And that's where the whole, come and do it for exposure. It will be good exposure. Oh. Like, and that's where, like, it's like, hold on. Like, soon as it, like, the word exposure is a red flag.
Yeah,
yeah. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, that's where you have to be very smart about where there's opportunity instead of exposure. Like, the exposure could be the opportunity, but it has to be the right exposure to the right people.
Yeah, and you have to get paid, bro. You have to get paid. You know what, yeah, I mean? You have to pay you some up, bro, because you can't be just DJing for exposure. You know what I mean? I gotta have a little something in my pocket at the end of the night. You know, yeah, what I mean? And I feel like a lot of, yeah, like you said, they do take the piss.
Yeah.
Like, managers take the piss. Promoters take the piss. They just want to have you, but for not to spend that amount of money.
Yeah.
And they don't want to pay. So I'm happy to like not turn down, I'm happy to turn down a gig, but if the pay is not good, I'm like, you're just taking the piss out doing it.
Yeah. Here's a question for you, which actually like, this is it's been on my mind since we had Joe on a couple of weeks ago, actually. It's like, would you do a gig that you wouldn't get paid for, but you would get great content from?
It depends, yeah. Like, Joe's in a completely different, like, content. Like, a lot of his content is, like, wordplays and in the club.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd benefit from, he'd benefit from DJing for free to get the clips.
Yeah.
Or that he'll get bookings based off that. Whilst mine necessarily, I wouldn't benefit from that. So I couldn't, I'm not going to get any content. Like, I've got loads of content, bro. Like, I've got same ones as Joe in the club, the same clubs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I'm not getting bookings based off that. I'm getting bookings based off my mashups.
Mm.
Right, so
it's a little bit different.
Mm. So if you were offered a job where they were like, yeah, come, you can do the mashup content and we'll sort it all out for you, but, you know, we can't really pay you for it, but we'll get you 50 clips.
You know, if it's a vibe, bro, and depends where it is. Like, if I'm traveling, like, down to London, I'm probably not going to take it.
It's got to make sense, isn't it? Yeah.
It has. It is a proper tricky one because it's like, ever since when Joe came on and he said, you know, like, there is certain times where his DJ fee has gone on the cost of a videographer.
Yeah, yeah.
And it essentially is that exact scenario. He's doing the booking for content. He's not making money off of that. But then it's like, he's been able to use that content to make more money. So it's just a reinvestment. He is getting paid for the booking, essentially.
Yeah, right? he is. But then you got to also think on the flip side, there's a lot of things with smokes and mirrors, you know what I mean? You can have 50, you paid for your videographer. Like, is he making money? I like to think Joe's making a lot of money because he's doing big bits out there. And I know a lot of DJs are in his sort of situation as well, that are doing all these sets that are not making money whatsoever, but I'm not going to ask him how much he's making. But I like to believe that Joe is absolutely, I know he's smashing it on the sets, and I want to, and I hope that he's smashing it on the money side as well, because he deserves it.
Mm-hmm. It's a tricky one because it's like, I don't know at what point as a DJ where the tipping point comes where you can just command more money. For example, like I have, for my entire career, almost my entire career, because obviously very, very early on, there is jobs that I was like, I've been vocal about it. My first residency, I got paid £30 for.
And
that was to do about 3.5-4 hours. And I had to pay £25 to get a cab home because I couldn't drive. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So that's that. I'm DJing the whole night for £5, bro. Like, that was my first one. But I have always made a point of not DJing for free, even when it's like, oh yeah, but you can get the exposure. Even like, bro, I've been offered main stage festival sets that I'm like, cool, this is how much. And they're like, oh no, it was just like, we'll cover your travel and there's no fee available. But like, it's that thing. It's like, but you'll get the exposure of being on the stage. And it's like, yeah, cool. But the exposure doesn't put my son's school clothes on his back.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? And it's not only that, is the problem I have now, if I say, yeah, cool, I'll do it for free, is next year when you want me to come and do it, I don't have the power to say, yeah, this is my fee, because you know, last year I did it for free.
Yeah, yeah.
And nothing's changed. If nothing's changed since last year, why am I now commanding money for it? Do you know what I mean? It's a very slippery slope for DJs.
It's a slippery slope to say, you know, try to DJ for not charge and DJ for free. Like, you don't want to get in that mindset. But, you know, sometimes I like to think of, you know, favor for favor. Like, I let them know if I'm doing something for free, like for like a big company, or like, listen, it's a favor or favor.
Yeah.
I let them know beforehand. Like, I will normally charge you this amount, but you know what? I'll look after you. You look after me this time.
Yeah.
As long as I make that known, that if I'm asking for money, they can't really complain about it, like, the next time, because I've done you a favor. So now you owe me now.
I feel like the big companies are the ones that don't deserve the favors, though.
Yeah, sometimes.
Because the big companies, like, let's say you get a corporate booking for a clothing brand or whatever, and they're like, oh, yeah, we're seeing, like, you're doing your thing on Instagram. We're doing a launch now. Can you come and DJ for the launch? But you know what? We'll kit you out with all the clothes from the line, but we don't have a budget for the DJ. Like, I'm thinking, hold on, you're a big corporate company. Like, you have a marketing budget. Dip into that for this because it's marketing. Whereas smaller, like, a smaller niche thing, if a DJ friend of mine was like, look, I'm launching a brand, I'm launching a party, I really don't have a DJ budget. Do you know what I mean? If I'm available, I might be like, you know what? I'll come and spin for that. And then what will happen is, like, in future, when you've got the budget for it, then just pay me, innit? Do you know what I mean? It's one of them ones. That's my mentality around it. Like, a bigger company, I wouldn't work for a big brand for free.
Yeah.
Because it's like, the person that books me is just their event manager. And that's not their money. They're just working with budgets.
So it happened to me, before Christmas. Mm. And a big brand, I got a message from a guy that I know that works for this company.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, can I DJ, you know, in the store and that? And I'm like, yo, yeah. I said, what's the wage? And the wage was a pair of trainers, bro. Right? And I love trainers. And I did take the set and I was like, yo. And then Dan called me up. He was like, bro, what are you doing? Mm. You're not DJing for free trainers. I was like, it made me see a bit of sense. I was like, this is a big company, actually. Mm. Why did they just pay me in trainers? Yeah. So I took down the set, man. And it was size. It was size as well.
I love that you just... Do you know how badly I was fighting the urge to ask you who it was? Because I didn't want to stick it on you like that. And you just did it. I love that, bro.
Size, bro. Listen, they were trying to pay me in trainers, man.
Yeah.
Any trainers you want on the shop floor and that, you can have it. And I realize I'm worth more than some trainers.
Yeah, 100%. And because not only that, even if the trainers, let's just say you went to the top end and there was a £250 pair of trainers there. I know that's not the top end of trainers, but you know what I'm saying? Like, high street wise, that's probably what's on their shelf. Yeah. Even if it's a £250, that doesn't cost the shop £250.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So,
do you know what I mean? That's how much you buy it for. So I actually charge them money and then buy the trainers out of that money, and you've still got change. You know what I mean?
I had a few bookings for Foot Asylum as well recently. Mm-hmm. But I put it new because of scheduling. But yeah, Foot Asylum pay. They offered me a lot of money. And so if you get Foot Asylum, go for it, man.
I mean, this is what I'm saying. I think, like, tips for DJs that are struggling with when and where to do, like, free sets or compromise on their money and stuff. I think it is a case of big brands have money for this stuff. Yeah. If you're chatting with someone and they tell you they don't have the budget, what they actually mean is they don't want to spend the budget. They have the budgets there. These people, like event managers for big brands, they are given big budgets.
Yeah, they are.
So, like, don't let people say to you, we'll give you a pair of trainers.
Yeah, and that's the thing, yeah. Like I've said before, like, promoters are, they do not see the value in DJs. Mm-hmm. They just think anyone can DJ.
But these days, are they wrong? Are they wrong? Because, as well, and I hate saying this kind of shit out loud, because I'm very much someone who's, like, taken my entire adult life to perfect what I do. And you know what I mean? I've, like, tried to maintain a very high level. But these days, anyone can DJ, bro.
Yeah, facts. Like, anyone can DJ.
Yeah, but
technically
anyone can DJ, but can everyone DJ well? This is the thing, isn't it? There's that separation.
Yeah. And then it comes down to how subjective DJing well is. Because if you're DJing for Foot Asylum in their store, do they want someone who can do backflips and beat juggling and scratch like an absolute master and do all of this stuff and even do live blends and things like that? Do you know what I mean? Do they want that? No, like, probably not.
Okay. Like, the average person doesn't care, bro. And that's what I've learned over the last, like, few months. The average person does not care about you, how you DJ.
Yeah.
What the DJs do. And when you get out of that mindset, you do a lot better. You do a lot better. Like, I know some of the DJs that are like, yo, messaging me, should I put this out? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, what do you think? I'm like, bro, why do you care what I think?
Yeah, just put it out.
The DJ, you know what I mean? I'm like, bro, you're not making content for me.
Yeah.
And I know a few DJs now that have like come out of that mindset now, and they're like, you know what? I think this is tough, man. I think this is hard. And they'll upload it, they'll post it. And then everyone's like, yo, this is sick. I'm like, yo, this is who you're making content for, bro. The people.
Yeah.
And that's and when people don't do that, when DJs need to, when the DJs fix that mindset, it'll be so much better for everyone, bro.
Yeah.
Stop trying to impress. It actually reminds me of an older conversation about, I don't remember where or when this conversation even happened, but it was to do with a DJ DJing in a club and other DJs being there. And then what happened was the DJ ended up flexing and doing all this mad shit that the general population in the club didn't care about, and it kind of killed the dance for a little bit.
Facts. It's happened to me before, bro.
Oh, go on. Okay, talk about that.
Many times, bro. Yo, listen, so I DJ in a club called The Back Room in Leeds. Mm-hmm. And it's probably like the main club in Leeds. It's open till 11 till 6 in the morning, bro. So it goes hard, yeah. And there was another DJ. I'm not going to say his name or whatnot. Even though I love to air about that, but yeah, I'm not.
I dare
you. Don't.
And jumped, bro. Listen, I was DJing, yeah, and he took over the MacBook. I'm like, bro, what are you doing? Because at the time, yeah, like he had that sort of status where he felt like he could do that. You know what I mean? And like now, when I've seen him, bro, he doesn't come near the decks at all. He is like, he'll be like, yo, yeah, you're doing a good set, and he walks off, bro, because he knows. Like,
he did what did he do?
He said, but he used to come to the decks and used to like, yo, type on my Serato, bro, like command F, start searching for songs. I'm like, bro, what?
That's crazy.
Oh, wow. Listen, listen, I'll tell you who it is afterwards, though. Yeah, but listen, he did it before as well in another club, yeah. And he jumped on the mic and was like, yo, started announcing who he is and that. I'm like, bro, what are you doing? What are you doing? And yeah, at the time, he had more followers than me as well. And I felt a bit like it was like in a hood venue as well. And the hood people loved him in it. So it felt like he had that power over me, which was, I hated it, bro. I hated it. And I couldn't do nothing about it. Even though I kind of pushed him off, like, yo, what are you doing? It's like, nah, it's cool, bro. It's cool. I know the people here. And I just felt a little bit like, I felt like I was so demoted as well, like the ranking of things.
Because yeah.
I was the main set, I was the main DJ there, and I was just like from here straight down to the bottom. And I was like, I just felt shit about myself. And I realized you can't do shit like that, man. But now, when it comes to the booth, bro, you know, I've got my 200,000 followers in that year. A guy comes over and he doesn't even do it no more, bro. He's like, yo, you cool, bro? You good? I'm like, yeah, I'm good, bro. He's like, yo, you're smashing it. And he's on the dance floor dancing, he doesn't attempt no more.
Right, yeah.
That's mad.
It's mad, bro. Listen, DJs are wild, bro. DJs are wild.
Yeah, it is.
The confidence you've got to like have to jump on a man's decks. And
yeah, that's crazy.
Imagine he just starts scrolling through your library as well.
Yeah, I'm fighting, man. I'm fighting.
Yo, it's hard, bro. And the worst thing is that DJ booth as well is packed out, man. So you can't, there's not enough room for me to scroll, you know what I mean? For let another DJ come on there and press command F.
Please. Yeah.
Yeah, that's mad.
Crazy.
Oh, man. Yeah. So what's, I know you said you kind of don't really have like a huge schedule or plan about what's next, but what have you got locked in at the moment?
So I've got a few reschedules for Indonesia, which I'm happy about as well.
That's sick. Yeah, you mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, man. So I've got bookings from different promoters out there. I don't know why I got followings out there. I said the same thing to Joe because Joe went there quite a few times, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he's like, bro, that's where the love music. So I've got a few of those locked in. I've got a few sets in like Manny, like Odd Places, Leeds, Bristol. Yeah, just making moves, bro. And it's not been that long. Like I've had these followers for 2 months.
Yeah.
So things are moving quick and I'm just trying to catch up.
Yeah. Are you letting the work come to you or are you actively searching?
Yeah, so I'm not even searching because I've still got my main sets and I've got pay rises for my sets as well. So
Oh, okay, that's sick. So you've, and is that based off of the fact that you've got things moving right now online?
Yeah.
That's mad.
Did you ask for that, or did they offer?
I straight asked me. Like, I went and sent them all an email on the last day of January, because that's when I realized I'm not gonna ask for a pay rise in the beginning of Jan. Like, it's you know what I mean? So, and when everyone's got the money back, emailed to most of the venues, pay rise. This is what I want. And I said, look, I've been here for a while. You know, I've got all these followers now. It's foolishness. I'm getting bookings for this amount. I don't want to get to a position where I'm not DJing for you guys. I'm taking other bookings because you guys don't want to pay.
Yeah.
But I
like you guys, and I still want to work with you guys. So we've got like a nice balance now where I've got a nicer wage.
Yeah.
And cool with me taking other sets the old time as well. So
that's good, man.
Yeah, I think like that's something that is very difficult for DJs to do, is to talk to residencies, especially long-term residencies, and negotiate pay rises, which I feel like every other job on the planet gets a pay rise every year, I swear. I chat to my friends, they're like, yeah, I just got a bit, like, they don't even change their job and they just get $2,000 a year extra for nothing. Do you know what I mean? And it's like every other job, but I feel like for resident DJs to negotiate that with a club, more often than not, they're met with like a nah,
we'll get someone else.
Yeah, nah, we're not. So I think like it's quite good that you touched on that, because the thing is, you're adding value and you're giving them reason to give you the pay rise. And I think that's what a lot of resident DJs overlook.
Yeah, because it's like, got to a point now. So I made it my mission to, when I'm DJing for the people now. So I want the people to miss me when I'm not there.
Yeah.
If you can crack that, that when you're not there, the club suffers, then you can use that as leverage.
Yeah, and one of my friends
in York, like, if I'm not DJing there, I'm getting messages, the bar staff are getting messages, the bouncer's getting an earful. It's like, well, where's Flex? So yeah, now that I've made that demand, I can now ask for more money. I wish I didn't. They were like, yeah, the people love you. When you're not there, they're always asking. So no qualms, got my pay rise.
Standards.
So to finish up then, Flex, what would be the best advice, whether it's one piece of advice or a bunch of bits of advice for DJs that want to crack the algorithm and DJs that want to be successful, basically, you know, whatever that looks like as a DJ.
So my advice for the Instagram thing, is one, you got to make reels for people to share. People want to share. People want to use your music. Mm-hmm. So if you want to crack the code the way I did for my stuff, for my mashups, is make content that people are gonna share. Like they can have they could even if they're not even sharing the video, the music, bro. As long as people can share the music, then that's a good thing. That's a start. And the moment that gets in circulation, you've smashed it. For the DJ in general, all the advice is, bro, is don't listen to other DJs, because a lot of DJs are bitter, right? As long as you make content that you're happy with and you love it, listen, post it. All I can say is post it, because stop stressing about what other DJs think. Because I did that for the longest, bro, For lockdown, I see a lot of DJs stop working, and I was like, yo, we're on the same playing field now, you know what I mean? I'm going to make my shit work, and no one can tell me anything other. No one can tell me different now. Mm-hmm. And the content for me, if I love it, I'm posting it. If people love it, even better. So that's my advice now, bro. Make whatever you want. If it's a vibe and you love it, post it. Don't care what other DJs think.
Sick. Yeah.
That's all I can say, bro, because people stress what other DJs think way too much.
Yeah, definitely. And I do think people, I think that they stress about that, but they also stress about posting something and it not banging.
Yeah, and I know I get it, but end of the day, bro, if the only reason why they're scared to post is because they're scared of what other people are not going to like it. Example, DJs.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. They're scared that DJs are not going to like it and think this is shit. And I'm not going to get the views. That's the fear, bro. When you lose that fear, doesn't matter. You'll post it and you'll be happy with it regardless if it does well or not.
Good advice. There you go. CB, you got anything else?
Nah, man, you know what, Flex? This has been a good episode, man. And you know what? Everyone listening as well, they're even because the advice that you've given as well, it's not exactly like hard stuff to follow. Like you said, it's just been simple things. So hopefully they can just kind of just take that little bit of advice, tweak some things, like you said.
Things, you know. And that's it, man. Like, you do bits as well, bro. You know, you're doing great content as well, man. And it bangs.
Appreciate it, man. I mean?
And the thing is, you're not making it for other DJs. You're just doing what you like to do. If a DJ likes it, cool. If they don't like it, cool. You don't care now. And that's what I'm trying to like teach all these other these new DJs, older DJs, rookie DJs, experience. It doesn't matter now, yeah. Stop thinking what other DJs think, bro. What they want. Post it for you.
Yeah. Funnily enough, when it comes to the talkover content, I actually have the opposite mindset of that because I want the DJs to like it because it's a DJ podcast. But but when I'm doing music based stuff, like DJ related stuff, yeah, I don't care if a DJ thinks it's hot or not. Talkover content, I do care because that's who the podcast is aimed at.
Because obviously, you know, you've been at it for a long time, bro. You know what I mean? And you do bits as well. You know what I mean? And you want that, as long as you've got that respect by DJs anyway. You know what I mean? I feel like in Leeds a little bit different. I feel like I didn't have that respect as a DJ for a long time because I used to be a promoter as well.
Right, okay.
But they don't know, bro. Listen, I'm 34, yeah? They don't know when I was 15, I was in my cousin's studio mixing Garage on his vinyls, you know what I mean? Like when I was 15 years old, I've been doing it for a long time, bro. And it's only now it's starting to start flying, bro. I've been at it a long time, man.
You know what it is? There's a couple of constants that I see with people that are really starting to sky off now and get successful. One of them is the consistency.
Yeah.
Like consistency and content. And it's not even like you've got a good aesthetic to yours. Yours is good quality. Same with Joe's. His is good quality. Same with like a lot of people that are getting good content, good traction on their content right now. It's high quality. But there are also people that are doing it that it's not high quality. Do you know what I mean? But it's the consistency that's there.
Consistency, bro.
That's where they're hitting. And the other thing is, I don't know many DJs now that are skying off that have been doing it a short amount of time. Everyone now that I see in terms of like reputable DJs that are doing well are people that have been putting groundwork in for time.
Like, yeah, facts, bro. Facts. You know what I mean? And I've noticed that trend as well. And a lot of DJs that haven't been doing it, they're the ones that have also been hitting me up like, yo, how do you do it?
I'm like,
I've been doing it a long time, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you go on my Insta from the beginning, I've been putting videos out from the beginning, bro. It's only now it started and they think it's overnight success.
Mm-hmm.
I've been at it a long time, man. A long time. But
Well, congratulations, bro. I'm super, super happy to see it, man, because it's like, I feel like this year it's about time that DJs, like real DJs, actually start to shine as well. Do you know what I mean? There's been too much like influencer DJs and
I'm trying to win for us all, man. I'm trying to win for us all, innit? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wear my DJ hat on my sleeve, you know. I want all DJs to do big, you know what I mean? And I'm always supporting, man. But you know, you get them DJs that are just like a bit of like, oh, why are you doing this? You know, oh, that's just, it's a simple blend, you know what I mean? A lot of people call it the blendemic and that, you know. Listen, I'm not the first person to put an acapella over a different instrumental, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be the last to do it, you know what I mean? People been doing it from day one, bro. So, you know, it's just a right time right now where people just doing what they want, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. Not watching everyone else. I like that attitude as well. You're just like, fuck what everyone thinks. I don't care. I'm proper. I like it because you're so secure and you're so happy in your current position.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And the content you're putting out, you're doing what you want to do. This is like the perfect blueprint for.
That's all I'm trying to preach, bro. You know, I know DJs that are in there deep and that have putting videos out, sick videos, not many views. And they're like, yo, what is it? I'm like, bro, it's nothing. It's a little bit of luck, but what you, and there you go.
Yeah. Well, it's sick. And yeah, Flex, I appreciate it, man, especially as I know your time's precious as well. So I do appreciate you spending the time coming onto the podcast. I know there's been a lot of gems today. So I know there's a lot of people that are going to benefit from it too.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. And I'll shoot you that DJ's name after the
I'm about to hit stop and you're going to tell us straight away. Sick, yo, guy. Before you go, do you want to plug anything? You mentioned you got a website coming, or do you want to plug your socials or whatever you want?
Everything is All the DJ Flex. You know, my website's coming. It's on, but there's not much on there. It's allthedjflex.com, SoundCloud, Infinite Beat Show. I do that with Dan. You know, we play a lot of future beats and stuff and a lot of vinyl mixes. So everything, All the DJ Flex, bro. That's it.
Perfect. Flex, thanks very much, bro. It is the Talkover podcast for the DJs, by the DJs, at Talkover Pod on all of the socials, of course. And yeah, we're back again next week. Thank you very much.
Safe. Peace.
Peace.